For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
First, just a word of introduction. Rav Chaim Yaakov Goldwicht was the Rosh Hashiva Keren B'Yavne. He was the Rosh Hashiva I would learn in Keren B'Yavne. He, tremendous giant of a person. He's actually the founder of the Hesder movement, the concept of the Hesder Yeshiva, in which boys in Eretz Yisrael learn for a five-year chunk of time in which they divide their army service together with the yeshiva. Time in yeshiva learning he was the founder of that movement through Keren B'Yavne and many, many other yeshivas since then. He actually received the Israel Prize in 1990 on behalf of the entire Hesder movement for the contribution to Israeli society of having such a concept of yeshiva together with Israeli service. He was a giant genius of a man. He learned under Zalman Meltzer and the Chazan Ish. He was a towering figure. I only heard him in person twice, once in Yeshiva Chanukah my first year, and once in his home in Yerushalayim around a small table about this size, with about six or seven of us. And I can honestly say, as I've said this before, I understood not a word of either of those two shmoozing. The first one in Yeshiva, because it was 2 hours long and way over my head in a Hebrew that I was not familiar with. And the second time in his home, which would technically have been something that I could have understood, but it was so overwhelming being in his presence. It was the only time in my life that I've been that close to someone that large a figure, and I could not follow what he was. He speaks a lot of rhetorical questions, and the fear that he might actually want an answer was so crippling that I couldn't possibly put two sentences together. It was really an amazing experience. About a year later, his son-in-law began printing his sichot on Chumash. He already had printed on three volumes on the Yom Tovim, and then they began printing on Chumash. They ended up printing about eight or nine different volumes. And for me, it was love at first sight. I became a student of his. I consider him my Rebbe, even though I've learned really nothing from him in person, like literally nothing. But he's my Rebbe because his svarim have become staples. He has taught me everything that I know about learning Medrash and Machshava, and it is a privilege for me to try to share some of his Torah with you. So that being said, let us get started. I put some chumashim out. You don't all need it. If I could just... there are more actually in there. Just borrow one of those. There's in the back shelf, you can see there are a few more of you. This will be very, very brief inside the actual Chumash. But if you do want to, just to get a sense of what we'll be doing, you could open it up in the beginning. So we know that there are various names of Hashem that are used throughout the Chumash. Each name that is used of Hashem is for a specific purpose. The fact that there are different names of Hashem represent the fact that he manifests himself in different ways in his dealings with us here in this world. And each name represents something different. So the word Elohim, for example, represents?
Yeah,
Din, judgment, the concept of a just, exacting God. And the name Hashem, the Yud and the Hey, and the Vav and the Hey generally represents Rachamim, mercy, the creative name of Hashem. So as we go through Bereshis, we open up very, very quickly. Bereshis, Bara Elohim. So which name is used as Hashem creates the world? It's the name of Elohim. It's the name of judgment. The name of a God of Din. And if you flip the page in your Chumash, we're just going to read the opening two words of each opening paragraph. Vayomer Elohim in Pasuk Vav, Yehi Rakiya B'soch HaMayim. Who's creating the firmament amongst the waters? It's Elohim. Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Elohim Yikavu HaMayim. Pasuk Yedalet, Vayomer Elohim Yehi Ma'oros Berkiya HaShamayim. You're getting the point, right? Pasuk Chaf, Vayomer Elohim Yishritzu HaMayim. Pasuk Chaf Dalet, Vayomer Elohim Totzei HaAretz Nefesh Chaya. Top of the next page, Chaf Vav, Vayomer Elohim Nasa Adam B'Tzalmein. Who's creating man? It's Elohim. There's only one name of Hashem used throughout this entire parak, consecutively, consistently, Ayomer Elohim. We get to the beginning of Perek Beis, which is really should have been at the end of Perek Aleph. Meaning the Christians put the actual names of the numbers together, but we would have considered this is the seventh day of creation. Vayechulu Hashemayim v'haaretz, and it's Vayechal Elokim again in the end of that paragraph. Kivo shavas mikol melachter shebara Elokim la'aso. So that 7 day of creation period ends, and there is but one name of Hashem used from start to finish, the name Elokim. We then get to Pasuk Dal, and now we're going to begin the way that Hashem relates to the world. We're going to bring this story of the world. We've created the world, and now we're going to introduce Adam and Chava and all that's going to take place with them. And the Pasuk Dal begins, Eila toldos Hashemayim v'haaretz. This are the product. This is the story. Let's begin learning about creation, not the actual creative process, but what takes place. B'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim. On the day that they were created by Hashem Elokim. And here we have for the first time, no longer Elokim, 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 but who created Shamayim V'aretz? It's Hashem Elokim. And if you look to the end of the next pasuk, V'chalsiach hasada terem yeva'aretz, why not kilohim tir Hashem Elokim al ha'aretz? Vayitzer in pasuk zayin, Hashem Elokim es ha'adam ofer min ha'adamah. Who created man from the dust of the earth? Hashem Elokim, Vayita Pasukhas, Hashem Elokim Gan Be'edin Mikadam. And now every time we reference Hashem from here on out, after the 7 days of creation, we find this combination of names, Hashem and Elokim, Hashem representing mercy, Elokim judgment, and which one comes first? It's always Hashem. Now, this did not go unnoticed, that the original story of creation is all Elokim's, and then when we begin the actual story of mankind, it's Hashem Elokim. And Rashi points this out at the very beginning, it's on the top of your sheet. That's all you don't need for the Chumash. But I just wanted to point that out. This is where Rashi is coming from. Bereishis bara Elokim, it's really the Medrash. Top of the box on your first side. Lo Amar bara Hashem. The Torah does not say that the world was created by Hashem, the Yud and the Hey and the Vav and the Hey, which would have been an appropriate name to use, the name of bringing things into existence, the name of Rachamim. It says, Rashi Shibatchila. Translate this literally, and then we'll ask all of our questions. In the beginning, Shibatchila, originally, it rose up in his thought process to create the world b'midos hadin, to create the world with an attribute of judgment. But he saw that the world would not be able to sustain itself. The world could not exist if he created the world b'midos hadin. So hikdim midos rachamim, so he proceeded with the attribute of mercy, vishotfa lemidos hadin, and combined it or partnered it with the attribute of justice. Hainu dichsev, and that's what's written in the pasuk that we just saw, v'yom asos Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamayim, that when Hashem made shamayim v'aretz, it was Hashem and Elokim. So it was all of him machshava, he had the thought to create the world with midas hadin. He saw that that was not going to work. The world would not be able to exist. So he created a combination preceding the midah of rachamim to the midah of din. I think we could ask a lot of questions, but let's bring out what the problem is. This is a very difficult chazal that Rashi is quoting. I think we could combine all the questions together into two, possibly three categories. What would you ask? If you have to ask like questions on this medrash, what are the problems with this medrash? Difficulties.
Hashem didn't.
Yeah.
Wait. Like, start first. Like, wait a minute. A man can have an idea, think it's a brilliant idea, tell it to his wife, and find out it's not such a brilliant idea. So he would say, "All of him, machshava. I had this thought. I thought it was brilliant. It was. I found out later it wasn't so brilliant." Can't really say that about the Ribbono Shel'olam, and you certainly can't say that about something as significant of the creation of the world. I thought it would be midas hadin. Look at that. These human beings, they can't make it. All right, I'll try something else. That's a difficult concept to say. Okay, question number two.
This is sort of part of the same question, but if Hashem is creating the people, then he knows what he's creating, whether it can handle it or
correct,
or
that would be the same question.
The kind of people that could handle it.
Wait a minute, how about a why question? If originally his thought was what?
Din.
Well, the question should be?
Why?
What was better about Din than Rachamim? Clearly there was some thought process. We should create the world with Din. Problem with that. We're not going to make it. So therefore, I make this combination package, which would then be our third question. I said, well, what is that? What does that look like? Din, I understand. Mercy, I understand. Rachamim. What exactly does it mean to partner Din and Rachamim? Could be. We'll see how we'll get to the end. But that, those would be the way that are the three questions. We're finished with Rosh Hashanah and Kippur. That's going to be a while. Don't worry. So those would be the three questions that I would basically, and all the other questions that can come out is would be, what does it mean that there was a thought process and then something else came out? Why should Din be the starting point? And then what does it look like in the end? How does that, what is Din and Rachamim together? Okay, good. So far, so good?
Well, that's the question of why only Rachamim.
Correct. In other words, right.
Combination, but never just Rachamim.
There was never a possibility. Excellent. So I would put that with that second question. Why is Din better? And then as a subset of that is, and why was Rachamim not even an option ever? It's either, it has to be Din, and then the best that I can do is partner Rachamim to Din, but I can never have a world that's only based on Rachamim. Excellent. So far, so good? Okay, let's take a look. The Rosh Hashiva understood this as follows. Based on a Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzatzer, one of the foremost Kabbalists, if I remember correctly, in the 1500s, he wrote a sefer called, there were many svarim called, one of them called the Derech Hashem, the Way of God, in which he describes the system of the world as it is. And in the beginning of the sefer, he writes as follows. We're not going to go through all of this inside, but I gave it to you so you could have, if you'd like to continue reading it. So the purpose of all creation. So I would never say such a thing, but Ramchal can. I'm going to tell you, he says in one line, what the purpose of all of creation is. And the purpose of all of creation is for God, who is goodness, to bestow and share of that goodness with his creations. As complicated and difficult a sentence that is, simple one-liner. That is the purpose of all of creation, for that which is goodness, which is Hashem, to bestow that goodness upon all of us. Which leaves us with the following question of, okay, what is goodness? So I could say, well, a day off after Yom Tov, that's goodness. So let Hashem bestow days off after Yom Tov. That would be goodness, yes? How about that ice cream was the healthiest food that you can have? That would also be good. Well, if the purpose of the world is for Hashem to bestow His goodness upon us, we can come up with lots of things that would be considered goodness. Says the Ramchal, because Hashem desires to do good for us, that would not be worth the purpose of all of creation to give us little bits of good. If He's going to give us good, it's going to be the essence of good. Well, what is the essence of goodness? I'll give you a hint. It's not ice cream, and it's not days off.
Himself.
That's exactly right. The essence of goodness is Ribbono Shel Olam Himself. Which means that when He created the world for the purpose of giving us His goodness, His goodness is Himself. Well, how does Hashem give us Himself? So Ramchal writes at the end of that first paragraph, or the third paragraph, I should say, in that first section, he's really the only essence of goodness. The reality of this goodness will be the He'll give us the opportunity to cling or to cleave to Him. And the more that the human being attaches himself to Hashem, the more that he'll become part of the essence of that goodness, and then he will receive all of that goodness. And we're going to leave aside how does that work for now. That's not for tonight. That's an entire series of shiurim. But in essence, what we could say is as follows. Purpose of creation is for Hashem to bestow His kindness and goodness upon us. The ultimate goodness is Himself, and He's given us opportunities to attach ourselves to Him, so that both in this world and more primarily in the next world, when we're just an Hashem again, our essence can attach ourselves, our neshama, to Him and receive that ultimate goodness. So far, so good? There is one obvious question, which I have there in the box. If the purpose of creation is for Hashem to bestow His goodness upon us, so we can cling and cleave and attach ourselves to Him, and by doing so can receive His ultimate goodness, I have a better idea. Little me, I have a better idea. Let's just skip this world, create my neshama, which existed already before it was sent down here, and allow my neshama to cling, cleave, be attached to His radiant goodness, and guess what? I'll get this ultimate goodness. Like that question? We could skip this whole thing. Just skip it. Because why are we here? So that we can attach ourselves to Him and receive this ultimate goodness. Okay. Let's just get to the good part. Imagine if you could just go straight to dessert and it would be the same thing. Like, you don't have to eat the meal. You could just go straight and you get the same thing. So, let's do that. That's a very powerful question. Because if He really wants to give us His goodness, He'll give it to us. If you give it, I'm ready. Why do we have to go through all of that is contained in this world to get to the same point? That's the Ramchal's question. He asks this question himself. And he answers as follows. He answers as follows with that which really drives our entire lives. Number two, V'ulam gazra chachmaso. His wisdom is decreed as follows. Shelihiyos hatov shalem. Since Hashem wants to give us the ultimate goodness, that goodness that He gives us has to be as good as it possibly can be. And in order for that goodness to be as good as it possibly can be, roi shiyeh hanenebo, then it is befitting for the person who is receiving this goodness to be ba'al hatov hahu, to be the master, to have earned that goodness. Perish mishayikne hatov ba'atzmo velo mishayislav elo hatov b'derach mi. The person who's receiving this goodness earned it. It's his, and not just that it was given to him happenstance or for free. It's a concept that the Ramchal calls the nahama de kisufa, the bread of shame or embarrassment, which is a reality that if you give something to somebody for free, it's not as gishmak as if they earned it. Because they know, deep down, when I get this, I know I didn't really deserve this. This was a freebie. This was a handout. And even though there's always a part of us that yearns for that, that's always a part of us, but there's another part of us that feels a little dirty. Couldn't really handle this on my own. I needed something to come from the outside for free. The Ramchal explains there's a reason for that. And that's because we are created B'Tselem Elokim in the image of Hashem, and Hashem is the ultimate goodness that comes intrinsically. So any goodness that we receive because we earned it, we worked hard for it, and we deserved it, is a godly type of goodness because it mimics the essence of Hashem's goodness, which is internal. Anytime we receive goodness from the outside as a gift, so it's not godly. We're not being godly. We're being given a handout, and we really want to feel godliness. So in order to feel the ultimate godliness, we have to be the masters of the good that we're receiving, which means that we have to cling and attach ourselves to Hashem and have earned it, have deserved it, have worked for it, so that when we receive it, our neshama senses, this is mine. I earned this. I worked for it. And that's a godly type of hana. And since the purpose of the creation is to give us hana, the type of hana that could be the ultimate best type of hana is godliness itself. And the best type of godliness can be not one that was given to us for free, but one that was earned. Therefore, says Ramchal, I could have just left you as a neshama, never sent you down to this world, and given you my godliness. Except on a scale of 1 to 10, how gishmak would that have been? I said, probably 7. And it's pretty gishmak if you'd receive the godliness from Hashem. But would it be a 10? It's not a 10. Because it was free. So there's something missing in that. So what did he do instead? So he sent us here. For what purpose? So that you can earn a 10 and it's yours. Here, this point is a very important point. Go back to your question. Original question. Why was the world created bidin and there was never an option of rachamim?
Rachamim
is, you didn't deserve this, you didn't earn this, but I'll have mercy and I'll give it to you. If we would created the, if to have created the world with rachamim, I got, I have a better idea than creating the world with rachamim. That we could just skip. If you want it for free, could have done that on my own. There's only one purpose of creation, according to what Ramchal's understanding, and that is to come down here and to earn it. It's yours. Which means the world has to be created bidin. There's only one option for this world, and that is, I'm going to give you a lot of difficulties, trials and tribulations, live through this world, but when you're done, it's going to be yours. I could have done it for free. That's easy, but what's the purpose of that? I only did this so that it could become yours. That's the Rosh Yeshiva's starting point. I want to add, this next part is my thoughts, and I'm saying that so that if it's wrong, it's not attributed to him. There's a Gemara Maseches Erevin. Gemara Erevin says, fascinating machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Number 3 in the bottom of your sheet. Shnei shanam u'mechza nechelku Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. 2.5 years, one of the longest standing debates recorded in the Gemara. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue the following point. What do they argue 2.5 years? Halalu omrim nolach lo adam shelo nivra yoser misha nivra. These said, it would have been better for man never to have been created more than it was for him to have been created. Better not to have been created. V'halalu omrim nolach lo adam shelo nivra yoser misha lo nivra. Better for man to have been created than not to have been created. Let me just repeat that. We're arguing for 2.5 years, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Better for man to have been created, better for man not to have been created. And they go back and forth. Not to have been created, to have been created, not to have been, back and forth they argue. 2.5 years, they can't come to a conclusion. Finally the Gemara says, Nimnu v'gamru, they finally took a poll, they took a vote, so they decided, what do you think? Noach lo la'adam, shelo nivra, yoser misha nivra. Better for man not to have been created than to have been created. Better not to have been created.
No.
Achsho shenivra, the Gemara then concludes. Now, nu lemaisa, you were created. Yifashvesh b'maisa, you should examine your deeds. Rashi learns, go back over your history, make sure you've never done anything wrong. V'amilan, some say, yimashvesh b'maisa, you should search your actions moving forward and making sure you do things correctly. Basically, bottom line, be careful. Watch yourself. Fascinating dispute. Fascinating dispute. Based on this Ramchal, I think you can say the following. If I were to give the neshama the following choice. Right now you're up in Shemaim, you've never been created. What's it like for you up there? It's a 7. It's pretty gishmak. I'm reveling in the divine glory, and it is amazing. There's just one little part, maybe it's even an 8. What's missing? It's not mine. So it's an 8. 8 out of 10, pretty good, right? I take that neshama and say, I have deal or no deal. Would you like to go down to this world where I'm going to create you, I'm going to give you a body, I'm going to give you all sorts of desires and wants and needs, I'm going to give you difficulties, trials and tribulations, and it'll be a good life too, but it's going to be hard because I'm going to offer you a 10. 10. So the Shema says, that sounds pretty good. I say, well, just there's one other part of the deal. You might mess up. And if you mess up, you don't come back here as an 8 or a 7. You're going to come back here as a 2 or a 0. Deal? No deal. What would you take? You're reveling in that 7-8 range right now, but it's not a perfect 10. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to earn a 10. But you should know that opportunity comes with the potential. In order to earn a 10, you got to earn it. Which means you have the potential for failure, utter and complete failure, and you might work an entire lifetime and only get a 6. Would you take it or would you not take it? So the men, at least for 2.5 years, argued this point. They went so fast. 2.5 years. Would it be better to have been created or not to have been created? What do you mean better not to have been created? I think based on this Ramchal is an explanation of the Gemara. Better not to have been created. Just give me the 7. Give me the 7. I would take the 7. You know the chances of failure far outweigh my pushing that needle to a 9 or a 10. Give me the 7. And Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, after 2.5 years, despite the divine wisdom that created mankind, said, from our perspective, if it were up to us, forget it. No deal. Leave me up there, as is. That's what we would have concluded. Except the Gemara says, we don't make that call. You were created, and therefore, what's the Gemara's conclusion? Watch yourself. Work at it. We would have gone with the 7. Just give me the 7 and I'll go home. We didn't have that choice. Mishnah Pirkei Avos, the end of the fourth parak. The end of the fourth parak, in the top of the next side. Shal karchacha tanotzar, against your will you were created. Al karchacha tanolad, against your will you were born. Al karchacha tochay, against your will you lived. Al karchacha tomes, and against your will you will eventually die. Val karchacha ta'asid li teindin v'cheshmo te'imaloch ma'chayama. And against your will, you're going to give a judgment. Mishnah says, al karchach. It's against your will. Against your will you were formed, against your will you were born, against your will you're going to live, against your will you're going to die, against your will you're going to be judged. Because God didn't leave it up to us. If it were up to us, we'd take the 7 and go home. Except he said, I'm the essence of goodness. And the essence of goodness bestows the ultimate goodness. And the ultimate goodness is for you to earn it. And therefore I, says Hashem, can't tolerate you're only having a 7. Can't tolerate it. How could you only have a 7? I have more to give. But you can only get it by earning it. And even though you frail, weak human beings would say, forget it, no deal. Just give me the 7. Against your will I created you. Against your will I'm going to make you live. Against your will you're going to die. And against your will you're going to give judgment. Because I demand, because of me, that you receive the ultimate goodness possible. And there's only one option for that, and it's not rachamim. It's din. It's that you earned it. That you lived, you succeeded, you struggled, but when the 120 years are over, it's yours. No options. You can't bail out. Therefore, the Gemara says, mitchila all of the machshava levrosa b'din. It was originally in his mindset to create it bidin. And I want to show you that the Gemara shows, you'll see this often, that that's the way, the primary functioning of the world. The Gemara in Bava Kama says, Usvivav nishara ma'od. With those surrounding him, he's very exacting. Measures carefully, the Pasuk in Tehillim says. Melamed, Shekadosh Baruch Hu midaktek im svivav. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is particular with those closest to him, Rashi says, Tzadikim hadveikim bo. Filu kichut ha-sara, this thinnest hair, he judges them. No leeway. You say, why? They're so close to him, these tzaddikim. Why do they get punished for the slightest infraction? I'll tell you why. Because what's the ultimate way of living? Ultimate living is din. It's careful, it's exacting, and it is harsh. Because that's the whole purpose, is that you should get there. And with his svivav, with those closest to him, that's what you find. The Gemara says in Menachos, the Gemara records number 6, so we don't have to read it inside, that Moshe goes up to Shemayim and he finds Hashem putting crowns on the letters. And Moshe says to him, what's the deal with the crowns? And Hashem says there's going to be a tzaddik who's going to live one day, Akiva ben Yosef Shon. He's going to darshan halachas and halachas based on every little crown. And Moshe says, wow, let me see such a person. The Gemara records that Moshe goes to sit in Rabbi Akiva Shir, and he's in the back row. He doesn't understand a word of what's going on. He starts in the front row, he moves back and back. He's at the end of the room. He's as far back as he can get, and he doesn't understand anything. Finally, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva answers one of his students that the source of everything they know is halachal Moshe Misinai. Moshe is Misyashiva Daito, so he's appeased. I'm not going to get into that part of the Gemara. But Moshe then, after seeing this scene, this Rabbi Akiva darshaning these crowns upon the letters, Moshe says, let me see the schar that awaits such a person. What happens to such a person? I have to see. This is the second paragraph there, number 6. Amar lefan of Ribono shel Olam, Heri Sani Torah, so you showed me his Torah. Hareini Schar, let me see his Schar. What happens to such a person like Rabbi Akiva? Amar Chazor L'Acharecha, he says, turn around, he turns around, Rosh Shoiklin Bisaro B'Makulin, and he sees in his flesh being flayed off with the iron rods of the Romans. Amar Lefan, Rebbeinu Shalom, Zu Taira V'Zu Schara? You're putting these crowns on these letters because of a person like Rabbi Akiva? This is his Taira, this is his reward? Amar Le Shtoik. And Hashem says, silence, kach Allah b'machshava lifonai. This is what has gone up in my thoughts. Kach Allah b'machshava. Says Rosh Yeshiva, what's the Gemara referencing that language? Kach Allah b'machshava. It's the din. That's my thought. The world has to be created b'din. And sviva of those closest to me, it's kechuta sara. It's like a hair breath. That the judgment is exact, because the purpose of the world is din, against our will. If you paid attention to the Yom Kippur Machzor, we did the Asar Haruge Malchus, and the same exact language, the Malachim screamed to Hashem, Zu Torah V'Zu Schara, what's going on? How could these tzaddikim, the Asar Haruge Malchus, and Hashem says, silence, Kach Allah b'machshava. If I hear another word, I'll return the world to tohu vavohu. Same language. Kach Allah b'machshava. There's this element of din. I'm going to show you Maral, and we'll tie it all together. Says the Maral number 7. Ba'al ha'gilach is going on this Rashi. Shetovu la'adam shia omed b'midas hadin. That's our goal. Our goal is to be omed b'midas hadin. V'she'ein lo tzorach l'midas harachamim. Now, there's so many aspects in life where we're looking for shortcuts. We're looking for the freebies. We're looking for the handouts. Where can we cut corners? Where can we get a gift from here? Says the Maral, a Jew's training is yearn for din. Yearn to earn it. Yearn to make it yours, where you don't need anything for free, any handouts, any rachamim. Sharikein hayaritzono shal makom b'tchila. That was the original intention. That is his desire. Why is it his desire? So that when you get back up to Shemayim, it's yours. And it's the ultimate goodness. But we can't make it. Where we created, was the world created also together with this Mida Rachamim? The Ashrelo Mishiyochol La'amo B'mida Sadin Ve'ein Tzorach L'Rachamim. Praiseworthy is he who lives his life B'mida Sadin and needs no Rachamim. I'm earning my keep. I'm doing everything on the Yashar, straight and narrow, and I need no Rachamim. Ashrelo for a person who yearns and strives to be able to do so. That all answers why it was created b'din. Rosh Yeshiva learns when Chazal used the language Allah b'machshava, went up in his mind, which we find that concept, we say it every Kabbalah Shabbos, Sof Maisa b'machshava tchila. The end of the action was so there's this concept of having a machshava. Rosh Yeshiva learns that Chazal are being megala to us the essence of the world, and that essence always applies. There's no such thing as, well, I thought this, so I change into that. If it's all of the machshava of midas hadin, that means there always has to be the element of din in the world, or there'd be no purpose for creation. That's how we learn. There are a number of places where Chazal used that language of all of the machshava, went up in his mind, and he says, always, that's the essence of what it is, and it always has to be that way, for the good reasons, as we just saw tonight. So then that leaves us with our final state. So what does it mean? What's this combination of Rachamim, what about, we can't make it. We can't live b'din. So Shiva learned as follows. I'll use his example, then I'll, another one that I think also expresses it. He used the following example. In Eretz Yisrael, people travel by bus. So in order to get on my bus, you have to pay your bus fare. So imagine a bus driver who holds, as he should, a midas hadin. Nobody gets on this bus without paying their fare. And everybody knows, this bus driver, I don't even try to sneak on, don't even try to play any games. It's the way it is. Somebody tries to get on the bus, tries to sneak past him, and this bus driver goes back and grabs him by the shirt collar, throws him off his bus, and says, hey, nobody gets on this bus without paying. Next stop, somebody gets on, maybe a child, 15, 16 years old, reaches into his pocket to pay, and as he reaches in, he realizes he forgot his wallet. He doesn't have his wallet, and his face turns all sorts of colors, and he starts searching through all of his pockets, and he takes out his backpack, and he's gathering all the loose change that he can come up with, and he comes up with a half a shekel short. And he's literally scrounging around, he like pulled out of everywhere. The bus driver says, okay, fine, go to the back. The guy's sitting in the front row and says, hey, wait a minute. Wait a minute. He didn't pay the full fare. Last guy who did that, you threw him off. Why'd you let him on? What's the bus driver going to say? What's he going to say? He tried. He wants din. He's not trying to circumvent the system. He wants to pay the full fare. Only problem is, he didn't have it. Circumstances created a situation where he can't deal with it. But he wants it. He tried with everything that he has. Sometimes you can act with rachamim if somebody wants din. Another example. Teacher has a student. Bright student. Really exceptionally bright student. And the student puts forth zero effort throughout the entire year. Nothing. Cruises by. Cruising. Comes the final. Teacher offers opportunities to review, answer questions. Student asks for nothing. Doesn't do so well. And at the end, based on his final grade, he has an 89. Teacher has a decision to make. To give the kid a B+ or an A-. Right? Easy call. Right? Why is that an easy call? What would be if I gave that child an A-? What is that? That's pure rachamim. Pure, unadulterated rachamim. The child made no efforts.
That's because you don't want the mother to call.
But it's still pure rachamim. It might be rachamim on yourself, but you don't want to deal with the mother. But to give the child an A- is rachamim. He didn't deserve it. He didn't do anything to deserve this. I can't give that child an A-. If I do, it's pure rachamim. Child sitting next to him, not as endowed academically as the first child, works the entire year, sitting there paying attention, taking notes, studying for every exam, emailing the teacher with questions, comes the final, stays up all night, questions, reviews, gets an 89 at the end of the year. Same decision the teacher has to make. What do you give that child?
He gets an A.
Right? He gets an A. He says, I don't understand, he didn't get an A, he didn't deserve an A, he only got an 89. His average is an 89. Why are you giving the child an A? Say the child deserved an A. The child deserved an A? He earned an A. You could say it that way too. He earned an A. So he didn't earn an A, he got an 89. An A, I looked in the handbook, an A is a 90 or above. He did not earn an A. The answer is, he did earn an A. Because sometimes the din is to act with rachamim. The din. Pure rachamim, what's the difference? Pure rachamim is no effort, you didn't try, you didn't care. If I give you what you didn't deserve, pure, unadulterated, 100% rachamim. Does this world function in rachamim? Never. No purpose. But there's an aspect of din. You can go to a court and sit in front of a judge and plead your case and try with effort to be better. And the judge can say, fine, I'll paskin, I'll give you a psak din, a judgment of, in a courtroom, it's a judgment. Because you've earned it with all of your efforts and behavior, sometimes you fall. Sometimes you're not perfect. Because we're human beings, and human beings are not perfect. V'tchilo olav b'machshav l'vroysa b'din. The Ribbono Shel Olam's desire to create a world in din, it's the only way this world can function. Because the only reason why we're here, he could have given us rachamim for free. Could skip this whole game. He's not interested in that, because that would be a 7. And against our will, even though we would have chosen that, against our will, he said, you're going to earn a 10. Against your will, you're going to be born. Against your will, you're going to live. Against your will, you're going to die. You're going to get a 10 because I demand giving you the best good possible. And we say, we're human beings. We can't. We'll never get a 10. So Hashem said, I'll make you a deal. I'm going to create the world with a partnership between rachamim and din. Not rachamim alone. A partnership between rachamim and din. And what does that look like? If you come to me with every shekel you have in your pocket, you put forth every effort to pass this test, and you, in the frailty of the human condition, fall short, I can paskin b'midas hadin that you've earned it. But only if you put forth everything that you got. You give me your all, b'midas hadin, you will earn a 10, even though we all know that's impossible. Perfection of a human being. Hashem said, Rosh Hashem, ain't all in the sky. The world can't stand that way. But he combines an aspect of rachamim with din, in which it's not pure rachamim. We will never get pure rachamim. Ribbono Shalom, I didn't try. Give it to me anyway. No way. Doesn't work that way. Ribbono Shalom, after 120 years, I'm short. I fell short. I gave it everything I had. I tried. I worked. I struggled. The din is, that child earned an A. Said Rosh Hashiva, our entire life is being that child who does not have the potential to earn a 90 on our own. Can't. But we're going to get an A anyway. And there's only one way that a child who cannot get the 90 gets the A and will have earned it and deserved it, and with more simcha you'll give that child the A than any other child you've ever had. Because from the moment he came to his ability to think to the moment he took his last breath in life, he tried, he paid attention, and he worked. And even though Bereishis Bara Elokim, and the entire first parak is Elokim, 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 it's to tell us our job is to earn it. Eile toldos Hashemayim v'Oretz b'hi baram, Hashem Elokim Eretz v'Shemayim. The world was functions Hashem Elokim. And if we do our part, we will have earned our 10, and that is our task, to work, to struggle, to achieve as much as we can. And even though it is guaranteed it won't be a perfect 10, because who can manage that? But that is, as the Maharal says, Ashrei lo misha yochol lamo b'min nisad. That's our goal. To be able to stand b'min nisad din, and with the sheet of the partnership, we can stand b'min nisad din, because we've put forth every effort to say, and we all know, for every child that we've ever worked with, and the person who tries earns it. That's life. That's the sheet of Betchila. Olav b'machshava levrosam midas hadin. He saw that it wasn't once we combined the two, and that's the function, the world that we function in. So said the Rosh Hashiva.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.